Winning It Life. Welcome. This next hour is live Financial News Talk Radio. What do you want to talk about? Your money? Retirement? That 401k? Those taxes? Man, do I have a lot of conversations about taxes lately. You know what? I find a lot of people don't like it. I don't either. 504-260-0995. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Yeah, the tax season kind of heats up now that we're within, 4 days of the actual deadline. Are you all set? How much did that check hurt? You got to pay it quarterly, then you get it. You get that painful feeling quite often. But we love talking about how to get around them, how to maximize your little strategies. It's a beautiful thing we do on the show. The market world, their hearts are just talking about the Uber IPO. They filed for their IPO today. Do I have to go back and tell anybody what Uber is? Does everybody know what Uber is?
Do we have to call somebody at a hotel? You know what I'm referring to, iHeart, Ron Burgundy or whatever.
Oh, Ron Burgundy, Paul Curry.
Yeah, some people think, hey, I thought like, who is he? What? And how funny is this? Not. Well, I guess that's the purpose because I called you up and like, what is it? And then I looked the dude up and then I figured out, oh, it's him.
Will Ferrell.
Yeah. Okay. I think I've only liked one of his movies. And I have to look at that. I think there was one. I just, you know, that's just not my thing. I'm a fiduciary.
You don't like base, gross, slapsticky comedy? Because I do. That's right up my alley. That show's aimed at me. But they weren't talking about Ricky Bobby or Ron Burgundy or that. Uber was all over Fox Business half the day. They are super excited about this. And I don't know what they're so super excited about. The Lyft IPO just happened last month, and it's not a rocket ship to the moon.
It's not?
Definitely not.
No, it's had some pain set. And how is this one? But they're looking for an evaluation of 90 to 100 billion, but they're only issuing about 10 billion worth of stock. Am I spot on there?
You're kind of spot on. And the other thing that we learned, which I think that valuation is kind of high, but the other thing that we learned is what their books look like somewhat. And in 2018, they had a loss of $1.8 billion. So this is not a money-making company. This is another one of the, what are they calling them, unicorns? These companies aren't making money, but they're worth so much. And
yeah, Lyft didn't make any money. Uber doesn't make money. Tesla didn't make money when they were public. Facebook didn't make money. But actually, yeah, their stock was hammered because it's kind of like, here, ultimately, it's going to come to, what have you done for me lately? And that means, have you made me some money? They need revenues. They need to show profits. Maybe, you know, it's not, we're not talking about kicking out dividends, but they need earnings growth and showing profitability.
Man, they had revenue up in the multi-billions, $11.3 billion in revenue. It was up 42% year over year. That's a type of, that's a level of growth that just can't sustain itself. But you can see why some people, even though it's lose profitable in the future, but that's a gamble, Gregory. And that's a gamble that's too rich for my blood. It's people that get in on these IPOs. I don't know if they just heard a couple of success stories about someone who struck gold or struck while the iron's hot and made a bunch of money. But if a client comes to you and asks you about the Uber IPO,
you know, I used to get more questions about those. We used to get a lot of callers into the show about this IPO, that IPO, but we're just not fans of losing money on offerings.
Oh, the Facebook IPO was huge on the show, wasn't it?
It was. And it's become very profitable. And now it's like, oh, yeah, now you see how they made all that money.
Yeah.
And not everybody's liking how that came about, but they had to turn the whole thing into a way to make money. And it turned out it's just a data machine, what Facebook is.
It's amazing how much value what you book. Company turn around and they do want to pay huge money to have access to that data and have access to you and your eyeballs. Oh, and since we are also in the tax season here, there's a proposal here from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, which sounds like a proposal that was knocked around by some Democrats in the where they are saying the IRS should do your taxes for you.
Great.
Well, I don't think they're all wrong. I always thought it was weird. Now that I take my deductions, it makes sense. But when I was a standard deduction type guy, you know, for the first 15 years of my tax paying life, probably longer than that, it always seemed weird to me that two copies of my financial information were sent out. One was sent to me and one was sent to the IRS. And if I got something wrong, they would be able to audit me and say, no, you, the wrong amount in here. And for me, it always felt like if you went to the grocery store and you put all the items in your basket and then you took them to the cashier and she scanned them, but didn't show you what the receipt was. And then she handed you all the items. She goes, you scan them and see if we get the same thing. And if you didn't get the same thing, then you were trouble. I always thought that there was sort of a flaw in the system like that.
Well, let's go from this standpoint. They're going to do it for you. I know you've gotten one of those letters from them.
Yes.
And they did it for you and you disagreed with it because they are auditing everybody. That's why some people get letters, because they disagreed. You didn't have a cost basis on the stock sale, but oh, you forgot to put the stock sale in. So they just tax you for the whole thing because they don't know what the cost basis was on that transaction. That was part of your deal. Look, I dealt with the letter that I received a couple years ago, and you know what my bill was? This is a little bit more than yours. They notified you. Mine was like $54,000. And look, whoa, you owe us $54,000. I'm like, what? I've got these people doing my taxes. I don't think so. And so it's like 8 months later on that particular one, they sent me a check. I got like another $1,800 back as a result. So it shifted that I thought we were good. They say, oh no, yo, $54,000. Then I end up getting $1,800 back. So I don't know about letting them do the taxes, because I didn't like where that was going. So for some, maybe. For some, a lot, maybe not.
Well, it's less than 1 out of 5 tax filers use the itemized deductions. So the other 80-something percent, though.
Well, it's going to be less with the standard deduction. And I can't say that. Look, tax returns are not my thing. I read over them. I review them. But I'm not that's why we have a team, the Total Wealth Authority. We have Jude Heath and Company. They're the tax people. You know, if I need estate planning, well, that's Wes Blanchard. Now, I know how to read them and review them. I know tax brackets and how to maximize those things. But some of these details on itemizing, and sometimes you can make too much money and you can't itemize. There's a lot of variances in rules. And then you need somebody to have your back when they send you the letter. What if you'd done that on your own and wrong? And like, what do I do?
Yeah, like your situation. Yeah, would you?
That's why I like showing up with a team. That's what we offer clients on my day job, is they're hiring a team to show up.
You know, I hear from a lot of small businessmen how much time and how much resources they have to exert just to comply with the tax law. And I got to think that if anything we can do to simplify that up, you know, every dollar that gets spent on tax compliance is a dollar that can't go to reinvesting in a company or opening a new branch or hiring a new
employee. Well, Fortune 500 companies has a lot of people working in their tax departments for the most part. Yeah, it's crazy. But look, on the other side, if you don't have the IRS watching and doing these automatic audits and stuff, they why not? It's computers. Why shouldn't all that stuff be sorted through to see who's doing what, who's not telling the truth, all these things? You do need that side of it, or else is everybody going to be honest?
No. Okay, well, here's another thing. When we had some tax proposals that we were talking about a couple months ago, you made the observation that so many of the rules and the lanes are getting tighter, that we seem to be moving toward a flat tax.
Oh, yeah. We've gradually been doing that to where, okay, we'll lower the tax bracket, but they're taking away deductions. We've lowered the corporate tax. Well, we're taking away some of the deductions. We're reshaping them. And that's what I see, aggressive flat tax. That's what I see it.
Yeah, so things are getting simpler. You have the people on one side of the aisle who are actually passing legislation to make things simpler. Here we have at least an attempt, a proposal put on paper from the other side of the aisle. So it's kind of nice. They seem to be agreeing on a topic here, and this is one of the few moments of bipartisanship where I look at this and I think this might be a good deal too. That there does seem to be a little unity here on people wanting to simplify the tax code and make it easier. However, at the same time, that other, what is it, like 19, 18% that itemizes? they're still going to try and loot them every chance they get because that's where the money's at. They just want to make it simple for people they're not getting money from anyway. The stat you had on Monday, the bottom 50% of taxpayers pay 3% of the taxes. What would you even harass them for? You're not getting anything out of them anyway. Just fill out this piece of paper. We'll send you your
check.
Yeah, there's
not much more to go get there.
All right, if you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you can call Gregory, 504-260-0995. You can also give us a call or text from the front screen of the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Kill the mood. Oh, no, don't do that. This is Winning at Life. Come on. Get the phone. Make the call. Join the conversation. James Parker, my co-host. I'm Gregory Ricks. He's trying to, like, name movies that Will Ferrell was in. What, Ron Burgundy is that podcast thing. And I did a search on it. And you know what they do? They keep, now he's like, stalking me, Ron Burgundy.
Because you did one search and now the ads are popping up because they think you're interested.
You think I'm trying to buy a suitcase or something. Yeah, kind of funny. But you're naming all these movies. And, well, he was in this and he was in this. And I was, well, I didn't see those. Well, why didn't you see them? Well, because I've already opted him out of my movie list. Nothing personal. I was trying to look up, I think there was a movie I liked that he was in, but I hadn't found it. So it is what it is.
Well, Ron Burgundy, the movie is Anchorman. Did you ever see Anchorman?
I did not see Anchorman.
I think you might like that movie. It is like a big, long Saturday Night Live skit.
Oh, I know. What was that movie where him and the other Saturday Night Live guy were running a florist and they're...
Night at the Roxbury.
That, yeah, I've ever liked that he was in.
You know, I like that, and I didn't think I was.
And it might be because I really like the theme song "What Is Love" by Haddock.
Wow!
Oh, you're impressed, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
I didn't know you like that song. That's your jam.
I don't know where you're going with that, but I've just pointed out I like that song, and it was in that movie, and it probably helped the movie because they played it a lot in that movie.
Weird. So you don't like Will Ferrell. Like,
I know you're the music guy of the two of us, really.
Yeah.
And but yeah, I surprise you once in a while.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm totally surprised here.
But you knew that. I
didn't know you liked What Is Love.
No, you knew that was the theme song, kind of the movie.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're banging their head, and then he breaks the window on the van or that scene.
I can't believe, because the Saturday Night Live skit has really no plot. How are they going to do an hour and a half movie? But they did, and it was funny. It was absolutely ridiculous.
But maybe they tried that one too many times, and that's why I opted out. Ferrell.
Watch Talladega Nights. You might like Talladega Nights.
Okay, I'll see if I can fit it in one day.
All right, hey, so
first, maybe you ought to look at some of that list I've given you.
I watched the movies you give me. Didn't I watch The Accountant?
You did?
Yeah. Remember Ben Affleck kicks everybody's butt? Kind of autistic, though. So good at math.
Yeah. It's about the math. I was having that discussion today on some of our money management strategies that we do not rest. And I think when you have a philosophy and you have rules, it ultimately does come down to the math. And that's where... We're always studying. I had that discussion today, and it came down to the math.
Hey, so I was thinking about a call that we had on the Saturday show. I was going through cutting up some audio, and we had a call from that teacher who had done 26 years at a private school, and then here she is in her early 50s, and she's taking a job at a public school, and she's wondering if that will break into the window and fall elimination provision affect her. And so we didn't get a chance to go by, because we told her at the time, you know, go get your Social Security account and you can go see what you've credited and see if you have your 30 years of substantial earnings, be totally exempt from it. But when I go back and listen to it, we left off something that I should ask another question in there, that even if she doesn't have the full 30 years, even if she just has like 28 or 29, wouldn't it be prorated down, the cut that the windfall elimination provision does into her Social Security check once she turns it on? So she would get like 29/30 of the cut, 1/30.
Well, it is offset by the pension amount, and you can be close, but you're kind of saying, well, you're almost there. It doesn't quite work that way. But what they're telling you is this ultimately gets you to the workaround. by having 30 years of substantial earnings.
Is it an all or nothing proposition? Like if she has 29 years and she gets the whole windfall elimination provision hit on her check, and if she has the 30 years, then she gets both.
Well, the full pension, you know, and the those full- who have the gold make the rules. You've heard that saying. Yeah, that's Social Security. Ultimately, you have to go to them to make sure that formula, what their formula is. They do have online calculators at Social Security. So that should be something when you're looking at this, kind of seeing where am I at? Should I go pick up those other 4 years of substantial earnings if that's what you're missing? And depending on her work record, she might have been missing four, maybe less, maybe a few more in that case. But I'd go utilize the calculators they have at ssa.gov and see where you stand in that formula.
We get a lot of calls from teachers about this windfall elimination provision.
Yeah, and what was interesting that she was 52. She's not retiring or anything right now, but she started looking at it and kind of saying, uh-oh, I need to call Gregory about this. And good idea, but it's what if she's getting to, say, 60 or 62, kind of like, I'm done. What? I'm not getting both? That's the kind of calls we usually get. What? My husband, I'm not getting his Social Security check because his is bigger. She's early in the game as far as that goes a lot of time, maybe probably thinking earlier to have looked at it. But she is where if she fixes that shortfall, there's two, she get the Social Security and the pension, 30 substantial earnings.
Yeah, but if she only has the 26 years covered, and all other things are being equal, if she stays in this job or takes the new, that would weigh heavily on
my
decision.
Yeah, so you're kind of like, what is it? You know, percentages you were giving there are fractions. Why not just skip both? Get the workaround done of substantial earnings.
You know, I wish we could make these people call us back, because I wonder if she goes to SSA.gov, gets her account, looks at her earnings, finds out that she has 32 years already in the books because she worked through college and she had a job in high school. And I want to hear her call back and say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to take this job. I'm not going to have to worry about it. I know I'm going to get both my full pension, whatever I can build out of this public sector, and my full Social Security benefits that, you know, she's got her 30 something, whatever credit. She's going to get a full Social Security check.
And that would be a cool call to get somebody to say, yeah, I got my 30 in and I switched to the other side now and I'm going to work on that. I'm getting me another check, another stream of income.
And seeing as how she's 52, you can build up a decent little pension from 15 or so years. Say she retires at 67, full retirement age.
So when you're kind of, we're talking about her age and we go back to, let's see, she's 52, 30 years ago, 22. So what, we're talking 78 there. Substantial earnings was 44, 25 in 1978.
So she could have got that working at the mall.
Hey James, any idea how much you made when you were 19?
Ooh, no, but luckily I have my Social Security statement over here. Was that a rhetorical question, or do you really want me to look?
I was just seeing if you would pull it out of there in that case.
Okay, so when I was 19, my taxed Social Security earnings, I made $5,313.
At what age were you?
19.
I would say going back to, I graduated from high school.
So you got it.
I made that much in that year. 1978, I made more than that. Well, I was doing things and sitting around chilling. I was working, making money. Not all of it taxable. I see that car flips taxable.
Well, and
maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Whoops. But whoops.
Come get me. I think Gregory's challenging that's a lo- you, IRS.
That's no, I am not challenging them. That's a long ways back when you think about it. I cash deals.
I'm sure you were.
Well, I remember building this Baja Volkswagen. And I remember Dad telling me that you need to get insurance. I'm like, why? What do I need that for?
Yeah, that sounds expensive.
Yes, that would cut into my profits because I built it and then had a little fun with it, then sold it.
Not having insurance is free. All right, if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, especially teachers, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. We do this every evening at 7. Well, weekdays every evening.
Yeah, that counts.
Saturdays, 3-hour live financial talk show right here where you're at from 10 to 1. So here's the thing. You want to talk about tax bracket management, 401ks, rolling over. What about Social Security maximization? You have some questions? Show 504-260-0995 to join conversation. You can email, text, or call us, or stream the show through the Winning at Life app. We've just recently done some updates, increased the cool factor of it. Just go to your app store and type in.
Yeah, there's a button I hit called cool factor, and I went pumped
it up. Hey, look, I've got a couple topics, but look, I'm going to throw in this commercial right here. You ready? Tax-free income. You ever thought about creating a stream of that? I have a book I want to send out to you. If you've got a smartphone, there's Notepad, type it in info@gregoryricks.com and just say, look, send me that book about the new tax rules, or send me that book about tax-free income. I'm going to mail you a book for you to read, highlight, make notes so we can start a conversation, or you can call the office and tell them, take your information to send you that book.
Now, you see this little printout that I gave you over here? Just keep that on the side. Don't throw it away anytime soon, because this is the Gregory Ricks live events that we have on the schedule already, and there's 16 that are open to the public, and that's not all of them. That's the Wine, Wisdom, and Food experiences that we're doing at Root and Metairie, the ones at Young's North Shore in Madisonville, and then we just have the next couple of months of our Lunch and Learn calendar, but we're going to keep doing those throughout the year.
That doesn't even in events. We're in Gulfport, Biloxi.
Right.
In the next couple.
Right. This is basically just a snapshot of what's coming up in the next 2 months. A lot of events here, Gregory. Next one coming up is two.
Yeah. Keith Young, Madisonville on the North Shore. That's the Covington, Madison, Eda Springs.
Robert Hammond.
You like that? Robert.
Well, it's right there. It's across the interstate.
Hammond. Hey, Denham Springs, not too far away. Baton Rouge, there, really?
That whole Livingston Parish, Tanner.
You know, it's not a bad drive. Ask Coach O. He lives on the north. Head coach LSU.
Where does he live? Listen to our show.
I hope so, especially driving back and winning at life. Yeah. Win with your money, coach. Here you go. So, we have an event Tuesday. And hey, it's a cool day. It's day after tax day. With your money that's left over after taxes, hopefully it's a lot of it, or we can get more of it. In that case, but we're doing a Wine Young's Steakhouse in Madisonville. A few seats left. Don't wait. It's Tuesday, the 16th, 6:30. You need to show up there about 6:15. My team will help you with some of the details and all, but you have to RSVP because it is going to be, the office number is 504-832-9200, GregoryRicks.com.
Well, and for the first time on the calendar today, I saw that coming up. Now, this is a way out. This is off in May. That there's going to be a new event we haven't done yet, a reverse mortgage. What is the catalyst for this?
Dwayne Stein. He's kind of one of those reverse mortgage gurus. People, you know, you see the late night commercials that run, I don't know, they might give you 2 minutes because it's us there. I'm selling or some other. But, you know, why not learn more about it in a relaxed setting? Nobody's emotional. It's a lunch and learn. And it's an annex at our office at 2800 Veterans Boulevard. And yeah, we have limited seating for that because it's a lunch and learn. It's kind of a small group setting, and I think you need to attend. Instead of having a negative attitude, it's just, could your home equity be a backup resource on the road to solve some problems? Why not learn more about it?
Yeah, imagine if you're watching that spot where Tom Selleck's to ask him a question. But all right, stop, I got this. But by the way, where's Higgins? Answer that later. Let me ask you this. How old do I have to be? Do I have to put my spouse on? You know, I just have all these questions. What happens if I move? What happens after I die? What happens if I change my mind? You can't ask that guy questions. But if you go to this event, we'll have a guy who's not quite as handsome as Tom Selleck, but Dwayne's up there. You can ask him the question. He'll be a great resource because we're the only ones doing it. Gregory, who else is doing a reverse mortgage adult education lunch?
None that I've heard of around this listening, right, where my mic goes.
We still got a ways on that one. It's May 20.
What about TC or Rick? You mentioned Higgins.
Did you IMDb Magnum PI real quick?
No, actually.
You remember that? You remember their names, TC and Rick? I barely remembered Higgins.
No, I looked it up. I thought that was pretty good pulling Higgins, and he's one of the lesser like. He's always kind of the guy like, you got the Ferrari dirty. Ding the car. Where have you been? You know, we've been looking for you. You know, he's always kind of hassling him. But you remembered that guy.
Yeah, well, now it's messing with my head because I don't really know what was going on in Magnum PI because it was 8 when it came on. But what were they, roommates or something? Was that his butler?
Somebody else on the estate, Rory. Higgins was the keeper of the property, so to speak. Right. And Selleck or Magnum was the PI friend of the owner of the property. Higgins was not the seer that was tasked to make sure this guy doesn't destroy my...
The dude that owns the
joint. Well, that was...
Was that ever revealed?
Well, that was like on Charlie's Angels. Remember that show from back that period?
We never got to see him.
Who was that guy that ran these female detectives? We're quite sure.
Now you
see, you know, it doesn't. You don't always have to tell who's benefactor.
No, but you're throwing a lot of good ideas at me for if that hair chance happens that I win the lottery. What would you do if you had all that money? Well, maybe I would just start up a Charlie's Angels and I'll be the mysterious guy that no one sees. That way I don't have any, headaches, you know, keep my legal exposure low. And then I just have these beautiful girls working out.
5 beautiful girls to go solve crime, help people, and some Charlie or something. No, maybe that was
the
benefactor. You're Charlie. Well, who was the guy in charge?
Well, that's the name I'm going to use.
Yeah, but there was somebody in charge of them.
Maybe it was Higgins.
It wasn't Higgins, but I'm not looking. Charlie would just be on the phone. Girls, great job.
All right. So if I win the lottery, my high school is getting a dome stadium, starting a crime fighting trio of hot chicks.
Well, they already have a huge football stadium?
No, their stadium's a dump. It's right next to a cow pasture.
It's Texas.
Right.
All high schools have huge stadiums.
No, they don't.
I thought they did.
There's podunk stadiums out in the middle of nowhere, and they basically play in a pile of dirt with a couple of concession stands on it. Actually, No, they got turf since I left. I'll show it to you on Google Maps. You will not be impressed.
But that is the thing in stadium. All high schools have stadiums. That doesn't happen where...
Really?
Yeah.
Now, that's weird. All right, 504-260-0995. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you can give Magnum a call. You can give Higgins a call. Give Gregory Ricks a call, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Bosley. It was Bosley that was in charge of the Angels. Of course, Charlie was busy. He could just only do the phone calls. This is Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. That's James Parker. Oh, yeah, we had a little memories throwback segment. It had to do with the reverse mortgage lunch and learn. How do we go down roads like that? Oh, it's at late night. But, yeah, if you'd like more information about our lunch and learns, call the office, 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com.
So someone did a little research here, and I like the thought process. Because what they looked at is, all right, the Fed kept the federal funds rate, the benchmark there, at 0 to 0.25% for almost a decade, for about a decade. And so the process is you look at what the average savings account rate was before that happened. What if that was extrapolated out? What if that didn't go down to where most of your savings are paying nothing? Number that was come up with by this study here, American savers lost about $500 billion worth of interest accruals because of the artificially low interest rates for a decade. It punished savers because it made what they had less valuable. $500 billion if the savings account rates had stayed the same. And I see this. My first reaction is that's why we need to get them back up.
Rates up.
Yes.
Well, here's the problem. And it's been chronicled here on Winning at Life, financial talk, news talk on that. And we will be critical of them and have been. When they should have been hitting that, they had opportunity. Oh, no, we're not doing so. And then all of a sudden, they start raising just every quarter. And then that's a little too intense. They could have got in those few years where they just wouldn't do it, and things were going fine. Just hit it a little bit there, and you'll be fine. But now, too many rate hikes, and the one they probably shouldn't have done is the year one there. But now, we've paused it, but you saw in the minutes, for the last Fed meeting. Well, the door's still open. If things are going good, we could still raise the rates.
I'd like to see them get back up there. I'd like to see when people put money in the bank and they hit the saving side of it, they get a little bit of return on it because it changes people's behavior. It forces them to either give up liquidity or chase risk in order to get a similar amount what they were otherwise getting bank account savings.
Well, I go back. I think we're better 3% or a little more on 10-year treasuries. It's a better economy. They just needed to take a little bit of a break. And I was surprised they raised at the end of the year, but we predicted it because that's what they were doing at Signal, and they were determined to do so. Probably should have paused it and then maybe hit one this summer. You'd have been in a lot better shape.
They're so hesitant, though, to raise the rates unless they come up with this scenario where they say we don't want the economy to overheat. I don't understand this terminology. I used to not really grasp it, but just defer because they know what they're talking about. And maybe my understanding of economics isn't broad enough. But the older I get, the more I'm like, why don't you want the economy to overheat? What, we don't want to get 7% growth? Oh my goodness, we're being too productive.
What, you're holding it back? And Trump is fussed about that. He said, look, we'd have had this if they hadn't have been raising rates. I get that. But also, we do need rates to move back up to normalized, and we're not there yet.
What do you think the Fed's going to do for the rest of the year? Because they're acting like they're going to stand pat. But I think that they're going to watch the economy, and if it starts to go down, that they'll go back into an E cycle. If the economy continues to grow at around a 3% rate, they'll see that as a sneak in another rate hike.
Well, 10-year treasuries closed at 2.02% yield, a good ways from 3%. I kind of out there that you could see a rate hike at the back end of this year if we still get wage growth. Unemployment stays where it is. Job numbers keep coming on good. Because the other end, because if they stop unwinding the balance sheet as they do and said they're going to do in September, the trade-off is a rate hike in December again. Because if they continue unwinding the balance sheet, that is equivalent of rate hikes, just doing both. So if they stop that, kind of.
Okay, Angie, I saw you talking to some guy. He didn't want to come on the air, but I don't understand the text message you just sent. Can you explain this one? Because it looks like something we want to do on the show, but this isn't ringing a bell here.
Which one?
The caller wanted to know what kind of car did Gregory have that was vandalized in the parking lot?
Okay, I was confusing the question as well. I thought maybe I missed something.
I have not had a car vandalized.
Okay, then I didn't hear it as well, but I thought, again, maybe I missed something.
All right, good. So I didn't miss something. We all missed it. It means it probably didn't happen.
I didn't say that.
Did we say anything about a car being vandalized? Parking lot? You were flipping cars. You talked about that.
Yes. That was back in high school, right, college. Yeah. No, I did. We were talking about...
Wait, did he think you meant physically flipping the car and not buying and selling it real quick? Because that's what they were doing.
Buy a car, fix it back up, repair it, whatever, and sell it to somebody else that wants to pay you more. They flipped that car. What? That's not the term I used back then. Was, yeah, I'm buying this car. I need to sell it and get some money and do another car deal
and
do something with some of that profit.
You know? Just to confirm, you've never turned over a car
over a car. But what we did talk about, and we had a caller, I believe Angie mentioned, was substantial earnings. There's something about you need 30 years of... Look, here's what you need to draw Social Security. You need 40 quarters.
Oh, yeah, here's the other one. Caller couldn't stay on the line. Do you have to work 30 consecutive years to receive SSI? 30 years with no break altogether?
No, you need 40 quarters. 10 years of earnings. And in 2016, what did you need to earn for a quarter? $1,260. It's $420 a month based on that 10 years. Look, getting your 40 quarters is pretty easy task to do so. Now, what we were talking about is when somebody's working for, say, State of Louisiana, we have a state pension program. Mississippi does as well, and they don't participate in Social Security in all cases. We'll just define it that way. So they're not going to, and if they had some time working on the private side and paid in Social Security, they could generate Social Security earnings. If you're working in the state pension and didn't, you have the windfall elimination provision, which would reduce your Social Security benefits. The workaround on the windfall elimination is having 30 years of substantial earnings. and it doesn't have to be consecutive. You just need 30 years of meeting their goal for earnings in that year. Going back to the 40 quarters doesn't have to be consecutive, but you need 40 quarters to be eligible for Social Security benefits as well.
All right. So 40 quarters or 10 years just for the retirement benefit. 30 years if you don't want to get hit with the windfall elimination.
Yes. And neither of them have to be consecutive. And when you kind of look at how do they figure Social Security, they're basically looking at your 40 best years. Averaging.
Okay, so thank you. Thank
and that's not consecutive either.
Thank you very much to the anonymous callers. We don't mind that at all. I hope we answered both of your questions in a thorough manner, but if you have any follow-ups, get the Winning at Life app, and you can just text Gregory, or maybe you want to take the next step and call the office. You call from the app as well. You go to the partner screen, and there's contact information for Gregory's day job. You get Dwayne Stein with his gumbo action going, Jude Heath, PA, West Blanchard State Planning Attorney, and our friends over at Mosquito Joe. Or Mojo. All right. Tell them about your day job.
Hey, I'm a fiduciary money manager guide, Sherpa, to help you with your money. Are you accumulating money? Are you getting help in the distribution phase? Maybe you need to take a look at our process, the guided planning system, to help find out where you are, where you're headed. Call the office. Let's have a conversation. You can. It's just as easy as maybe, hey, I'd like a 15-minute phone call with Gregory. 504-832-9200, GregoryRicks.com.
Your home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is for educational and entertainment purposes only, and does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Strategies for the private use of our audience. Find podcasts and contact info in the Winning It Life app and winningitlife.com. We are Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks.